Welcome to Staying in the Black, a show about teachers and money. I'm Miss Black, a New York City educator, single mom, and personal finance translator. Join me as I build my runway to retirement. Each week, we'll share actionable steps, resources, and inspiration that educators can use to maximize their benefits and improve their personal finances. Staying in the Black means having more assets than liabilities, and being able to pay off your debt without any problems. Stop living paycheck to paycheck and build a joyful life. Thank you for joining me. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Staying in the Black. I'm Miss Black, your host. And today's episode, I am still struggling with what the title is going to be, but it's really about knowing or planning your financial life, right? Whether it's for retirement or not, but just like knowing your numbers so that you know where you want to go. So in the past month, I have had 4 clients at different stages of their career that are trying to figure out what to do. So client number 1 is a school psychologist who's married with 3 children, who education is her second career, and she wants to retire without meeting the retirement requirements, meaning that her retirement requirements are 25 years and 55 years old, but because it is her second career, she hasn't even hit the 20-year mark yet, let alone the 25th year. But she's like, stick a fork in me. I'm done. I just want to leave sooner rather than later. My second client has only been working for New York City Public Schools for about 8 or 9 years. And so she works for family engagement, and she is almost at 10 years, but she has had a lot of things happening and is considering leaving the Department of Education now. So she went to check on her pension and to see kind of like what her options were. And because she wants to leave way early, I told her, like, you know, so we'll talk about her. I don't want to get into her story yet. But she has a partner and she doesn't have children. My third client she works in a district office. She has about 12 years left. She plans on staying in New York City Public Schools until she hits retirement. But she is now concerned, like, am I going to have enough money to retire? Will I be ready to retire, financially able to retire when I'm ready to retire? And the other and final client is already retired from another city agency, but has recently taken on another job and is trying to figure out, or has discovered, like, doesn't really want to work anymore, but has children who are still school age, not in college yet, and figuring out, like, how do I make sure that they're taken care of, able to go to college, and I'm still able to live at the lifestyle that, or she's able to live at the lifestyle that she's become accustomed to. So why am I talking about all 4 clients in one podcast is because after speaking to all 4 of these women, what I discovered is they don't know their numbers. And in working with them, what I've seen is once they have figured out what their number is, they are better able to plan. For one person, the numbers kind of brought some anxiety, but for the other 3 people, the numbers were really empowering to them. And if I go back and I listen to various podcast episodes, I know that the highest leverage action step is to know your number or to do the math, which, speaking of the first client that I described, the school psychologist, I've been working with her for quite some time. And whenever, you know, when we initially started working, it wasn't in a formal capacity. So she would just ask me random questions because we're friends about her finances. And so then I would ask her for specific numbers and she would always give me like these ballpark numbers. Now she's at a stage in her life where she's like, I got to figure this out because I'm ready to retire. And so she's like now able, in our relationship is more formalized. She is now giving me actual numbers, right? So she called me and she has some consumer debt that she's trying to get out of. And so she was like, you know, I have these four cards. I'm trying to pay them off. It doesn't seem to be working. And I was like, so, okay, stop playing. You know, you always say things like this to me, but you haven't given me the numbers. What is your minimum? Like, what's your balance? What's your minimum payment? And then how much have you been paying on these cards and how much can you afford? So in asking her those questions, what we discovered or what I discovered was that she had been what I call snowflaking. Most people don't know what snowflaking is, but debt repayment is usually spoken about in terms of snow, right? You have the snowball method where you pay off the lowest balance first and then that snowballs into the next balance until you pay all of your debt off. You have the avalanche method where you list your debts by interest rate and you pay off the debt with the highest interest rate first because that's how you save on interest payments. And then the one no one ever speaks about, but I find a lot of people do, and I don't understand why, is the snowflake method where you put a little extra on every single minimum instead of being intentional about how you're paying it off and either putting all the extra to the smallest in the small, like as in the small snowball method, or putting all the extra to the highest interest debt in the avalanche manner. But when you snowflake, you really don't move anywhere because you're just putting a little extra on every bill and it doesn't really accumulate or have the impact. So once she gave me the actual numbers, I was able, or we were able, to come up with a 6-month debt elimination plan, all because now she's focusing on the snowball method, putting on the lowest one. She'll just pay these credit cards off in 6 months. And that all came from her saying the exact numbers. She had been giving me ballpark numbers for a long time. And because she wasn't specific, it just drug out her debt repayment process. This also impacts her ability to put away more for her retirement so that she can retire earlier than is required of her. And her understanding, and so in being able to do that, means it's more likely that she will be able to retire when she wants to and not have to work until she meets her full retirement requirements of 25 years. So knowing the numbers was totally enlightening for her and really helpful. And she felt empowered by knowing these numbers. Now, when we speak about the young lady who wants to leave within the next, you know, 2 or 3 years, the thing about the pension was she had a very interesting employment journey. She was in one retirement system and then switched to another retirement system, which the second retirement system said that she was owing almost $50,000 to buy back her time in the pension. And we were looking at the numbers and they had sent her letters, but it wasn't making sense. And so I encouraged her to contact the retirement system again and make it clear to them that she had already been contributing to the other system. And I found out today that because she had asked and made them aware of that process, that she now has no time to purchase back. What we also were able to discover is, you know, she will lock in some really important benefits by staying with the city for a minimum of 10 years. And so that informs like what she's going to do in her next steps. But the other part that that enables her to do is to kind of figure out how much of a salary does she need to be able to retire when she plans to retire. And so the question that I asked her and that I asked the school psychologist that neither of them, well, none of these four ladies actually were able to answer this question is, how much does it cost to be you? So in asking all four of them, the school psychologist, the person who works for family engagement, the person who's already retired, and the person who is going to take the standard way to retire as a New York City public school teacher, none of them could tell me how much it costs to be them. And so knowing that number is vital to all the other calculations about your retirement, whether it be you want to do FIRE or if you want to do standard retirement, you need to know how much you're spending so that you can estimate or project how much you will be spending in retirement, so you know how big your nest egg needs to be. So for the young lady who is, you know, considering leaving early, the idea of locking in healthcare benefits, the idea of having some sort of pension, although it wouldn't be a large pension, she would still be entitled to, and there is a higher percentage rate if you leave at 10 years versus under 10 years, and the next steps are at 20 years and then again at 30 years. So understanding the math and the benefits and what you get at each stage was really important for her in informing what she would need to do at her next job. So when you're thinking about retirement, it's not just about your current position. It's about truly future you. Now, for the client that has already retired, they retired from another city agency, so they already get a pension, but they got a job at an airline, which allows them and their family to fly at steeply discounted rates across the country. Now, for the new airline, for the airline that they work at, they keep those flying benefits after working for the company for 10 years. But this person is saying, like, I don't even know if I can make it to 10 years. I'm kind of like happy that I have the choice, but I'm not sure if I can sustain this lifestyle of having a child who's still, one who's still in middle school and one who's going to graduate in a year and a half from high school. And then we're looking at college tuition, their pension, and for how they live, right? So it's kind of like the lifestyle that you've become accustomed to. It'll be a challenge to just do that on the pension. So in looking at working at the airline, they're looking for two things. A salary that allows them to maintain their lifestyle and being able to put away additional funds in a 401k so that not only will they have their pension from New York City, they also have a deferred comp account in New York City. And then they're contributing to their 401k from the airlines and trying to figure out, like, how many years do I have to work in order to set myself up for success or at least maintaining the lifestyle that I have become accustomed to. And so that person is looking at three different buckets. Their pension, their deferred comp, and now this new 401k they're contributing to. But like the other two ladies, she didn't know how much it costs to be her either. Now, the fourth young lady who is like, you know, I'm going to follow the path laid out for me by, you know, New York City Public Schools. I'm going to work my full 30 years. I contribute to my 403B or TDA, but I'm not maxing it out. And I now understand what the 457 or deferred comp is. And so how do I contribute to that? So this young lady, because she works at the district level and is still in the union, is anticipating significant raises over the next 4 years. And so in order to accelerate her retirement savings, I totally encouraged her to max out her contribution to the 403b and to consider and seeing if she can afford to contribute to the 457 so that she will have a nice nest egg in her TDA as well as her deferred comp in the next 12 years. That's a lot of time to invest and for the market to, you know, go up and down so that when she's ready to retire, she's assured that she has enough money. But how much money is enough money? Some people would say $1 million. Some people will say $2 million. But at the end of the day, you won't know your number unless you do the math. And the first part of the math isn't really about, well, it's just basic addition. It's tracking your spending. So all four ladies, I encourage to use the Mint app, which is free. Use the free version. There's a cost version to it, but use the free and to just use their debit card to purchase everything so that they can track how much money they're spending and where that money is going so that they can figure out how much money it costs them a year. For all four clients, I'm just very transparent with my finances. I let them know that I spend between $6,000 to $7,000 a month. And that is including my mortgage and everything that I spend. And so in knowing that, I take the highest number to figure out how much money do I spend in a year. So taking that 7 times 12, I spend about $84,000 a year. So that was what my net income needs to be, right? Not my gross, but that's how much I'm spending, approximately how much I'm spending in a month. Once I know that, right? So I know, once I know how much I spend a month, if it's between $6,000 and $7,000, and I say $6,000 and $7,000 because I've been using Mint for about 15 years now. And so I have seen my spending increase. I know what it currently is. And so if I were to retire today, I know that I need to have an income. Not a gross income, but like a net income of $84,000 to be me. That's how much it costs to be me at this juncture a year. And that doesn't include my son's tuition because he had a 529 account. So that money I've been putting away for him earlier. And I don't currently, well, I think I still might have a payroll deduction of $20 a month. So that is, you know, $240 a year that I contribute to that, which is already accounted in that $7,000 a month. But that's how much it costs to be me. And knowing that $84,000, now when we talk about that $84,000 and we are looking at retirement to calculate that number, like through the FIRE method or calculations, then I would down times that $84,000 by 25, which would mean to retire at this moment, I would need to have $2.1 million put away in order to live comfortably in retirement and have, you know, that $84,000 a year. So you're like, $2.1 million? Yes, $2.1 million. But I've been saving for my retirement since I was 23. And truth be told, I'm more than halfway to that number. And so because I know what those numbers are, I know what I'm working towards. I know how many years left I have to work. I know how much I have invested in both my TDA and my deferred comp. And I even had a pension consultation when I was 10 years out. So I know approximately a ballpark figure of what my pension will be. So I know that I'm okay. I will be okay in retirement, and I'm fine with that, which is a very, you're probably like, yeah, you must be fine with it. But I'm just saying it's a freeing thing to know that when it's time for me to retire, I'll have the choice and I'll be able to say financially, I'm able to retire. I won't have to stay at work because financially I'm not prepared. But the reason that I can do that is at 23, when my buddy teacher made me start putting into the retirement system, I didn't understand. Like, I had heard of 401ks, I had heard about putting, you know, what money away from retirement, but I didn't really understand what it was, right? She told me to do it, and so I did it. And she has given me like peace of mind and a true gift in doing that. But because I started that young, I could actually stop saving for retirement and have over $1 million in my TDA just because we're guaranteed a return on that. And that's when you go to these retirement workshops and they show you the graph, and it's kind of like, Tim started putting $250 away when he was 23, and then he stopped at 33, and he has $1 million. John didn't start until he was 33, and he's contributed until he was 65, and he has under $1 million when he's ready to retire, because compound interest helps you with that. The longer you have that money invested and that interest is compounding, the better you are. So knowing your numbers so that you know, okay, this is my goal, is invaluable. And I think that is going to be the title of this episode, is why it's important to know your numbers. The four women that I described to you are in different stages of their lives. They're single, they're married, they're partnered, they have children, they don't have children, but they are all trying to take, they all are taking charge of their life. And knowing their numbers is what's allowing them to do what they want to do. They aren't blindly entering the next stage of their life hoping that they have enough. They're saying, I want to make sure that I have enough, or I want to make sure I have more than enough. And so I'm going to put some of these equations in the show notes so that you know how to figure out what your numbers are. And once you do that, it's so empowering. So the school psychologist, she said to me, I didn't even realize that I wasn't giving you the numbers. I was like, no. And I, you know, in casually helping you, weren't pushing you on it, because personal finance is personal. And people feel a lot of shame or a lot of guilt around their finances. They don't forgive themselves over mistakes or errors that they may have made in the past. And we have to get over that and really just look at the numbers and say, okay, this is what I, you know, this is the amount that I would have to have, or this is the amount I may not need that much. What adjustments or what shifts or changes can I make today so that I can get where I want to go, right? And as a person, you know, now when people ask me, well, how much more time do you have? I have 4 to 7 years left, not 47, but 4 to 7 years, because I will have reached my 25 years of service in the next 4 years. I won't reach the age for another 7 years. But because I have money in various accounts, leaving in 4 years is actually an option for me. And that's why knowing your numbers will give you the option to retire with the lifestyle that you want, that is valuable to you, and not feel like you have to do something that you don't want to do. But you don't know that until you figure out the numbers. So the highest leverage action step that you can take in preparing for retirement is to know how much it costs to be you today. So know your numbers. Calculate how much money you spend a month. And once you know that number, you can multiply that by a year. and know how much it costs, how much money you would need in a year. And once you know how much you need in a year, you can multiply that by 25 to know what they call your financial independence number, how much money you would need invested so that you don't have to work anymore. And that number can be really scary depending on the lifestyle that you're living now. And you can, and that's when the fun begins, right? You get to choose whether to cut back some of your lifestyle spending or to increase it. And then knowing that with that decision, what that means for your financial independence number. But knowing the numbers is truly half the battle and will empower you to make the decisions that is, you know, the decisions that are best for you and your family. Thank you for listening. And remember, stay in the black. Thank you for joining us this week at Staying in the Black. Subscribe to make sure you never miss a show and visit our website at stayingintheblk.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at stayingintheblk. If you like the show, please tell a friend and leave a review in iTunes so that we can continue to bring you amazing episodes. Thank you for listening. See you next week, Gwen.